Thank you for listening to this message today. This is our Wednesday broadcast, Wednesday, May the 6th, 2020. This is Pastor Howard. It's good to have you join in today. And I know we're all still waiting on what we're going to be doing for church. We are working on our plans to resume our live services. There are some protocols that we're going to have in place at first that's going to be different than how we were doing things before. As the coronavirus subsides, hopefully we can relax some of those things. But we've been looking at the recommendations from the Ohio Department of Health, as well as our church insurance company. And so we are finalizing those protocols, and I will let you know when we're able to go forward with that. We want to make sure people feel safe in attending our services. We want to minimize our liability going forward. And we're being asked to proceed with caution, recognizing that infections related to the virus are still possible. And so we're thinking about those things. Once we confirm a date to resume, I will let you know. And if you have any questions or concerns about resuming services, please let me know. Appreciate those of you that have contacted me and appreciate the calls, the text messages. I've even gotten some good old-fashioned letters. So thank you, those of you that have written those. We appreciate those. It dawned on me this past week that Sunday, this last Sunday, was the church anniversary. The church began officially on the first Sunday of May in 1983, and so our church is now 37 years old, and we praise the Lord for the years that He's given to this assembly, and thankful for the promise of Matthew 16:18, where Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And we recognize the way that the Lord has built this local church, and we're thankful for how He has continued to use the ministry here. And perhaps that promise would also apply to coronavirus. The gates of coronavirus shall not prevail against it. It certainly hampered us quite a bit, caused us to not be able to gather together. But I don't think it's prevailed against us, at least yet at this point. So we're looking to the Lord for His continued building of this local church. It's His church, and we're thankful for our history here. I have some pictures that are from the early years. I put in the newsletter this week today, so I'll be sending that out to you so you can take a look at those. I have a note here from Panao Bible Camp about camp information. This was sent out on April the 30th. So this is last week, just regarding camp this summer, as things stand right now, it says, while there's still some uncertainty about many things going on this summer, we are proceeding with plans for a camping season that will be genuinely used by the Lord. Please pray with us to that end. Camp information and registration are online on our new website. Youth camp scholarships are available for campers with a military parent or financial need. Where there is financial, just recommend them to me. That's Ken Perry for a full or partial scholarship. I do not need or want the details for these scholarships. All we ask is that they register and pay the $20 registration fee. We have a bountiful scholarship fund, so don't hesitate to offer this assistance to those in need. Plans for the Memorial Day celebration, May 25th, will be forthcoming. Our offering project is for continued remodeling of the rec hall, including flooring and outside siding. Our current goal is $13,000. Volunteer staff are needed for all of our camps. There are opportunities for counselors, kitchen workers, and custodians. You can see the needs that are in this letter here. Perhaps you could identify some college students who would benefit from serving a week at camp. Staff applications are located online. Thankful for His grace, praying for His wisdom. Ken Perry, who is Director of Administration with Panao Bible Camp. Also, I have a note from missionary Don Kilmer. He's one of our supported missionaries, serves in South Africa. And I received this on April 29th. He says, "Hello, brethren. Here in South Africa, there is a great lack of discernment. In fact, I've also noticed this in America, but it is even worse here. If you have any thoughts or Bible studies or notes on discernment that you'd like to share, I would appreciate it. I'm always looking for good input to help me in teaching the Zulu folks here. We are still on lockdown, but some restrictions will end on May 1st. However, no gatherings will be allowed, such as schools, church meetings, or sports events. One blessing is that I can now walk down the street or ride my bike from 6 to 9 a.m. as long as I stay 1.5 meters, that's about 5 feet, from anyone else. Most of our witnessing opportunities at this time are through casual contact with people. At our grocery stores, we not only have a cashier, but also someone who bags the groceries. I was at the store today and had a wonderful opportunity to witness to a young lady who was bagging the groceries. I gave her a gospel tract and talked about the wonderful blessings of forgiveness through Jesus. Yours for the Zulus, Don Kilmer." Then I have a letter I'm going to read from Randy and Bonnie Studdard, also one of our missionaries that we support here at our church. And they just recently transitioned to England. They're still kind of in a state of transition, according to this letter. But this is their May 2020 prayer letter. It says, "Dear friends, I'm sitting at the desk in the upstairs bedroom looking at the neighbor's pretty spring lawns or gardens in England. We have been here for 6 weeks, staying with our co-workers Art and Debbie Cunningham. It has been a remarkable 6 weeks. 2 days after our arrival from the States, England declared a lockdown. We have left the house for walks and grocery shopping. We have met the church folk via Zoom. We have met all the neighbors from their front lawns and backyards. We have enjoyed a pleasant, contented, extended stay with Art and Debbie. They have shown us unprecedented, we've used that word a lot lately, hospitality. We owe them a hearty thank you. But tomorrow we leave these good friends and England. We will fly back to the USA on April 25th. I know your first question will be, why? We are here on a tourist visa, which is good for 6 months and is sufficient if you are a tourist. But we desire to settle here, and that has not been possible on a tourist visa. The coronavirus has disrupted the necessary paperwork for a resident visa. It's always a complicated matter to get paperwork to live abroad. But add to that the closure of many government offices, and it becomes a stopped momentum. With no end in sight of these complications, we felt it best to return to the States and pursue the paperwork from America. When we get it, we will return to England. We plan to settle and work from Alabama for a while. Since it is very difficult to make plans these days, we aren't making any definite plans right now. In God's time and under the shadow of His wings, we will press on. Our love and thanks to all of you for your prayers and support. We can always be reached with our email." And they list it here, your co-laborers in Him, Randy and Bonnie Studdard. Now that it's May, we have some May birthdays to recognize. And this past Sunday, we had two people with birthdays. That's Betty Owen and Keith Scheiderer, both birthdays on May the 3rd, I think. Different years probably, but we want to wish happy birthday to Betty Owen and Keith Scheiderer. And then coming up in May, we don't want to forget about Dan Wiley on May 17th, his birthday. And also just 2 days later, Lee and Donna Ray's anniversary on May 19th. So be sure to remember those birthdays and anniversaries and give them a call. Sing to them, send them a card. So remember the birthdays. A couple prayer requests I'll mention. Mrs. Evans was able to come back home on Monday. She had emergency surgery over the weekend to fix some bleeding that she had after her cancer surgery just a little while ago. So pray for Penny as she recovers at home. And pray also for Bob Renard with his back. He still has some pain with that. He was able to have a teleconference with his doctor, get some steroids, which have helped him, but he still is going to follow up with the doctor later on. And then also, Mr. Renard has asked us to pray for his friend Candy Davis. He's mentioned Roger and Candy Davis before for prayer. Roger had cancer. Roger passed away recently. And so if we could pray for his wife, Candy, Candy Davis. And then also I just ask for prayer for the elders as we review the procedures and protocols for reopening, that we'd have wisdom to know the best way to do things and when. So just ask for your prayers for that as well. In our last study on Sunday, we looked at Habakkuk chapter 3. We looked at Habakkuk's prayer and praise. He spoke of pestilence as part of his praise of God, recognizing that God was behind the pestilence and the plagues in the past. But the final verses of this chapter in Habakkuk chapter 3 are very special. They show us the prophet Habakkuk's expression of trust in God. You remember, we looked at how he started the book with a lot of questions. Questions about what he saw in the world around him. Questions about how God could use a wicked nation to judge God's people. And as Habakkuk talks to God, we find that he ends the book a lot more settled and trusting than he began the book. So I'd like for us to look at these verses from Habakkuk chapter 3, and I'll read them, verses 16 through 19. When I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. This last chapter of Habakkuk is a psalm. It's a song that Habakkuk writes. And we see his trust being expressed to the Lord in these last verses in two different ways. The first way we see his trust expressed is by his waiting when trouble draws near. We see Habakkuk waiting when trouble draws near. It's not easy. You read this verse 16, Habakkuk is about to collapse. He says, my belly trembled, my lips quivered, there was rottenness that entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself. He's afraid. He has heard what God has said to him. Back in verse 2, he says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. God had revealed to him what God was going to do to Israel through the Babylonians. God had told him then what he would do to that nation and other nations. And when Habakkuk comprehended that and heard that, he was afraid. There was nothing he could do about it. It was going to happen. And he's in a great emotional turmoil here. The word belly refers to the heart of a person, although sometimes your stomach can get upset when you are emotionally upset. And so he says, when I heard, my belly trembled. His lips quiver. Rottenness enters his bones, maybe the idea that he has no strength and stability in himself as he thinks about what God has said. But then there's a determination here of waiting. He says, that I might rest in the day of trouble, when he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Now he's talking about that coming Babylonian invasion, but he has a determination to rest. The word rest here is a word that has the idea of being quiet or settled, or it can mean to wait. And that's not something that's easy to do. When you know trouble is coming, you want to get out and do something. And yet the prophet Habakkuk could not do anything. He knew that trouble was going to come. This nation was going to invade. But the most faithful thing that he could do was to wait as that trouble came. God had given his word. Yes, it was scary. But the best thing that he could do was to wait for what God said would happen to happen. Often we can get very worked up about something and want to be doing something, but the right choice for us can be to do nothing and wait on God before we act, before we take another big step and do something else. Maybe you've heard the funny story about the two frogs who were swimming in a tub of cream. And one of the frogs looked at the sides of the tub of cream where he was thrown into, and they were too difficult to crawl over, and he just said, "It's hopeless." And so he just gave up, and he resigned himself to death and relaxed, and he sank to the bottom of that tub of cream. But the other frog determined to keep swimming as long as he could. He said something might happen. He kept kicking and churning. And finally, he found himself on a solid platform of butter and jumped to safety. Of course, that's just a made-up story. But waiting does not mean giving up completely. It means to continue in what we've been given to do and to look to God to make the butter, so to speak. We've all had to do a lot of waiting right now during the coronavirus. A lot of us are worked up. We want to do something other than what we've been forced to do. But what is it that we can continue to do? Where has God placed us, and what has he given us to do that we are able to do? Let's do that. Continue in that place where we are and look to God for the next steps that he would have us to take. But we see Habakkuk expressing his trust by waiting, by being willing to wait. Even though he sees there's trouble coming, he's not going to get away from it. He's waiting on God. And then the second way in which Habakkuk expresses his trust is by rejoicing in time of loss. Rejoicing in time of loss. He tells us about the circumstances of joy in time of loss here, and that has to do with pretty much economic devastation. Verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom. Of course, the blossom on the tree is the first stage of the production of the fruit. And if that fig tree doesn't blossom, there's not going to be any fruit. He says, neither shall fruit be on the vines. No grapes. Nothing to drink. Fruit of the vine being produced there. The labor of the olive shall fail. The labor is the produce of the olive, perhaps the oil. And you know, in Bible times, olive oil was a staple, kind of like butter for us today, maybe, and very important for them. But the labor of the olive shall fail, he talks about. The field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Economic devastation. This is a description of an agricultural economy. These bases of Israel's agricultural economy here. And perhaps this devastation would be the result of war. The Babylonians, the Chaldeans invading. History tells us that famine oftentimes is one of the effects of war. And that seems to be what Habakkuk may be thinking about. The crop failure, the loss of livestock, and a famine would result from that. And notice here that he's talking about a complete loss here. This isn't just maybe a partial harvest. The crops just weren't as good as they were last year. He's talking about nothing, no food, no clothes, no economy. What then? Well, he tells us that there's still joy, rejoicing in time of loss. You know, the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic is going to have an effect on our economy. It may not be complete devastation, but it's definitely going to affect it in a bad way. And we've all heard reports about the meat shortages because of the processing plants being shut down, many people out of work. But certainly something that's comparable to what Habakkuk is describing here, a failure in the economy. And he expresses joy even in that. We see the circumstances of his joy in time of loss, but notice with me the expression of his joy. You know, he doesn't say he's just going to buckle down and endure these hard times. He says he's going to rejoice in joy. Verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The word rejoice is a word that means to jump for joy, to triumph. It has that sense. Every night, pretty much, I take my dogs on a walk after the kids are in bed. And as soon as I put my coat on and I grab the leashes, one of my dogs, she literally jumps and howls for joy. She loves her walk so much. She jumps on her back two legs and can hardly wait for me to put the leash on her collar. Now, the other dog doesn't do that. She eats for joy. And as soon as she knows we're going to go on a walk, she eats as much food as she can. And I put the leash on. But I'm sure that you express your joy perhaps a little bit different from that. But the point is, that's the level of joy that is possible. The idea of jumping for joy, exalting, rejoicing, triumphing in the Lord. And then the other word here is, I will joy in God. That's a word that means to rejoice, to be glad, often expressed in shouts and song. So this is not just sort of a mild, happy feeling. This is major joy that Habakkuk says he will have. But then notice the source of joy in this time of loss. He says it is God himself. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. God himself is Habakkuk's source of joy. Salvation. He realizes that, yes, there's trouble that's coming. I'm not going to avoid this trouble, but I still have salvation. Nothing can take salvation away from me. It's eternal. It's everlasting. Nothing can change it. And then he talks about the gifts of God. The gifts of God are a source of joy. We see here, he mentions God's gift of strength. He says in verse 19, the Lord God is my strength. The word strength here is a word that means a force of some kind. Sometimes it's translated wealth, or sometimes it's translated army. There's all different kinds of forces that are in the world today and that people rely on for their strength. They may be financial wealth, they may be military, they may be medical. In these days, we're hearing a lot about the medical capacities that we have here, the medical strengths that we have. But what if all those strengths are gone? We still have the strength that God gives. Habakkuk says, the Lord God is my strength. God himself is what I'm going to rely on. The Apostle Paul realized that, and that's what led him to write, I can do all things in Christ which strengtheneth me. And also, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. So the source of Habakkuk's joy, the source of our joy, is God himself, God's salvation, but also God's gift of strength. even if all other strengths that we have, all other forces that we rely upon are taken away, we still have the strength that God imparts to us. Nothing can take that away. And then there's another kind of gift that Habakkuk rejoices in here. Verse 19, it says, "And he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places." Of course, a hind is a female deer. And deer are sure-footed animals. We see them all the time around here. They jump across the roads and over the ditches, into the woods, right through the weeds, right into the crops at full speed. Nothing seems to hinder them. And here the prophet compares what God will do to making us to walk upon our high places. "He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon my high places." We don't have too many high places around here. The deer are able to go pretty much wherever they want. Their feet are very capable of taking them places they want to go. But even in a place where there are mountains, there are animals, deer and other kinds of animals that are able to walk on those high places. My wife often talks about her family vacations in Colorado. She grew up in Kansas, and Colorado, of course, just one state over to the west from Kansas. I've never been to Colorado. I'd like to go there someday. But she was telling me recently about Trail Ridge Road in Colorado. And Trail Ridge Road is a road that goes right through Rocky Mountain National Park. It's the highest paved road in Colorado. Covers 48 miles. Highest point is over 12,000 feet in elevation. And we recently watched a video on YouTube of someone driving the entire road. You can go out and search for that, and you can experience somebody else driving Trail Ridge Road. But it's a high road, and I understand that it can be kind of scary going on that road and driving on that road and looking over the edge of that road. And you need good brakes on your vehicle. And it'd be nice if the road is well maintained so that you don't have to worry about parts of it falling off, which I've heard that it is well maintained. And perhaps the high places here that Habakkuk is talking about are the places of danger in life. And to walk on those high places means that God gives you stability and strength to go through those places without stumbling and falling, without the fear that we might usually have in going through some of those dangerous times. But God can give that. God can give us that stability that's like making our feet like hinds' feet, making us to walk upon high places. What if we see nothing good coming in the future? What if our times end up being like Habakkuk's times? Habakkuk could see it's trouble, and I'm not going to get away from it. What if it's all bad news, like it has been lately, in these last several weeks? That was Habakkuk's situation. And he had to go through an attitude adjustment. He started out with a questioning attitude. "God, why are you doing this? How could this be?" But then God showed him what was going on. That caused Habakkuk to be afraid still. But it gave him an attitude adjustment. He saw much of the physical provisions being taken away, and he came to realize that what he had in God would be enough, and even more than enough. It was enough to make him joy, jump for joy. We can see his faith being expressed here in his determination to wait in that time and in his ability to rejoice in God. I pray that God will give us that same attitude adjustment that Habakkuk went through, especially that is needed for us in these days. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you would help our attitude to be like this attitude of Habakkuk. We pray that we'd be willing to wait on you, to continue in the place that you put us. We pray that we would rejoice in you. We thank you that our joy does not need to depend on the physical things in life, but that it can rest in you, and that we can say with Habakkuk that I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Help us to have that joy. And give to us, Father, that strength that you can give to those who trust in you, and lead us in those dangerous high places. We pray for your protection and for your grace. We thank you for what you have provided for us in salvation through Jesus Christ. We thank you that you've given that to us. You've offered it to everybody. We thank you for those of us that have put our faith in the person of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the promises that you give to your children. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.